Fourth letter of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, page 304 from the Good Note Bible. A victory over the world. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is a child of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child also. This is how we know that we love God's children. It is by loving God and obeying his commands. For our love for God means that we obey his commands. And his commands are not too hard for us, because as a child of God, it is able to defeat the world. And we win the victory over the world by means of our faith. Who can defeat the world? Only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The witness about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who came with the water of his baptism and the blood of his death. He came not only with the water, but with both the water and the blood. And the Spirit himself testifies that it is true, to the Spirit is truth. And we have a reading, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, page 138 in the Good Note Bible. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you all, my friends, is to do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer. The servants do not know what your master is doing. Instead, I call you friends. Today I told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you, love one another. Thanks be to God.
Some of our best and worst moments of our lives have to be with being chosen. At schools, as I mentioned earlier on, colleges, when captains picked people for their team and your hand keeps going up and nobody picks you. At parties, they're picking people to dance and you're sitting there praying for someone to pick you and nobody picks you and you're sitting there all by yourself and everyone else is on the dance floor, always the last to be chosen. That's if at all you are chosen. And it's something that some of us remembers just too well. And it's pretty ego bruising not to have been chosen, to be left out, to be considered as the least valuable person in the group. Then one day, you get a letter from college, university of your choice, and said you've made it on the course on your own merit. You finish university, You get another letter after an interview. You've got the job of your choice. Finally, somebody wants you. And it's a wonderful experience to be chosen. To know that we are important to someone, that we're valued, and that we're desirable. But sometimes, when others choose or praise our efforts, we become suspicious of their motives. Not because of something that they've done, but because of our own insecurities, because of the baggage that we carry, that we've been carrying along from the school days. We turn away the love of others because of the fear that the friendship that's being extended is not for the real me. Or we become suspicious that they've only chosen us because of what they can get from us, what we can do for them. And our heads are so full with mathematical theories as to why we've been chosen that we fail to enjoy being chosen. This ought not to be the case. Not everyone is a user. Not everyone expects things of us that will end us dragging us down and wearing us out. The setting for our text this morning is the night before the crucifixion. Jesus had just finished washing his disciples' feet. And you could sense at that critical time that Jesus felt he needed to provide reassurance to his disciples of his love. Something for them to hold on to when their faith will be severely tested in Jerusalem in the coming days. So he reassures them of his love and his friendship. But what does this friendship mean to us today in our community? Three things spring to mind. Firstly, being friends with Jesus means that we've been chosen. We've been loved and we've been chosen. He describes love here as to lay down one's life for one's friends. Agape love, that's what they call it. The friendship that Jesus talks of is not from mutual attraction, because in verse 16 of the text we heard earlier, it said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." He chooses his followers. Jesus, the Son of God, has chosen them not to be his servants, but to be his friends. And it follows, too, that all of us sitting here, we have all been chosen. We have all made the team. Nobody's left standing on the lines watching. We're all together in a team. We're all on the dance floor singing and praising God. Jesus chooses us on his team, not for our abilities, not for what we can't do or lack of our abilities, but he loves us and wants to show his love to us and through us to others. Being chosen doesn't mean we're an elite group or we can demand or dictate what we want from this friendship. We're chosen to bear fruits during God's reign. And Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit, to provide the staying power when things become difficult. Secondly, being friends with Jesus means we know what's going on. We can't turn around and say we don't know. Because the beginning of John's gospel, which we didn't read, it tells us that Jesus was right there with God. He was the Word made flesh. So we all know that. He was the Word made flesh. And throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus explaining his mission to his disciples, telling the disciples what he learned from the Father. He tells them about the impending crisis that was going to happen in Jerusalem. And after his resurrection, he met two disciples on their way to Emmaus. He opens their eyes and he tells them what is going on. And what distinguishes friends from servants is that friends are in the know right from the beginning, unlike servants. Thirdly, being friends with Jesus means obeying his command. He said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." His command is to love one another, to love our enemies, and pray for those who persecute us. Forgive and be forgiven. So great is his desire for us to love each other that he tells us in the book of Matthew that if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gifts there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile with your brother or sister. Then come back and offer your gift. God doesn't care about our offering as much as he does about our loving him and loving one another. So when Jesus is telling us to love one another, he isn't talking about having affection for one another, though we may have that. He isn't talking about being in love with one another, though we may joyfully find ourselves in that condition. He isn't even talking about having a true and deep friendships with one another, though we may be lucky enough to have those too. He is talking about love that transcends all that other loves, because it is ready to give totally without hope of expectation of receiving anything in return. It is ready to give even at the risk of its own life. That's agape love. That's what Jesus means. And that's what it means when we say God is love. The way we demonstrate that we love God is by loving another. Not just those we can pick and choose like we do with our sweets, but everyone we come across to. Failing to love others calls into question our love for God. It's quite a high standard, isn't it? You can't love God. You can't sit here and say you love God if you don't love the person next to you. So where do we begin? I have what may seem opposite to what I've been saying since I started this message. Why not begin by doing absolutely nothing Why not begin not by trying to figure out how to achieve the impossible, matching the all-giving love of God in Christ? Why not begin by letting yourself receive that love of God? Let it seep in you, sink down in you, flood your hearts, souls, and body. Relish in the love of God and enjoy God. When you do that, you accept that what Jesus did on the cross was for me. God loves me in spite of who I am, in spite of all my faults, in spite of what I'm thinking about myself right now. The good news of Christ really applies to me. So why not begin today by seeing what it feels like to live and enjoy God? Because I believe that it's only when you are at peace with yourself that God loves you in spite of your fault, in spite of what you feel about yourself, that you can begin to extend that love to others. There's a story, as I was researching this service today, of a pastor who presided over a divided congregation. And to start off the reconciliation program, he decided and suggested to his congregation that from the next Sunday, he will allocate time during the service, not afterwards, during the service, for people to go around and say hello to others, to other people that they normally don't speak to. After the service, a man turned round to the woman behind him and said, "Good morning." She looked at him in shocked indignation and snapped, "That doesn't start till next Sunday." The truth is that some people are not ready to be friends of either God or us. But regardless of their choice, we are called to be friends to them, to choose to act in love, not only towards those we love, those we care for, but to the people on the fringe of our society, to people wherever we meet them. While some people are not ready to be friends, some of us are not ready to fully commit ourselves to Christ either. We come in here, we sing his praises one day, and the next day we walk down the street and we see him lying in the gutter and we turn around and ignore him. We make callous judgment of someone, writing them off, rejecting them entirely, without showing any sign of grace that we've received. We sing, "Brother and sister, let me serve you. Let me be the Christ to you." And then walk out and treat others as though we were born to rule and they're lucky to have us in their company. But we must remember that when we invite Christ into our lives, he always insists on bringing his friends. He said, "We cannot truly love him and not also love those he loves and those he died for." We must love even those we do not or cannot like, for Christ's sake. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." So let us go out singing, "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you," as we let the love of Christ flow through us. Amen.